Now, are you a worrier? Do you worry? Maybe a lot. Does it keep you awake or distract you? Could be something big and serious or something smaller that we get fixated on. Either way, worrying can be something to worry about. Help is on the way. Our next guest is a psychology expert who says we may not be able to stop worrying, but we can do it better, more productively, and in ways that give us less stress. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Is this a problem for you? When does worrying affect you the most? Have you found some solutions of your own? Hey, do you have questions for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tracy Dennis-Tawari is an anxiety researcher and founder of Wise Therapeutics. She's a psychology and neuroscience professor at Hunter College in New York, author of the book Future Tense, Why Anxiety is Good for You, Even Though It Feels Bad. She wrote about worrying in the Washington Post. Tracy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to be with you.
Let's start with some of the basics. What really is worrying and how does it relate to anxiety?
Well, you can think of worry as the thinking part of anxiety. So it's the thoughts that go in, you know, through our head as we're feeling anxiety. It actually gives, in some ways, it gives focus to those anxious feelings because we sort of become mental time travelers into the future when we worry. We're imagining what might be coming around the bend. We're kind of doing this form of problem solving, really, where we're saying, ooh, what if this thing happens? What do we do? What are the bad outcomes that are possible? And what can we do to make the best outcomes come to be?
In that Washington Post piece, you share a personal example of something where, gosh, if I were you, I would have been worried too. Can you tell us a little bit about that story and how it inspired your ways to deal with worry?
Yes, that was when I was pregnant with my first child, my son, Covey. And we found out in the middle of my pregnancy that he was going to be born with a congenital heart condition that would require open heart surgery when he was, you know, would still be an infant. And so we knew this was reality. We knew that in that sense, my husband and I, that it was something out of our control. The diagnosis had been made. And so now worry was really my constant companion because everything day to day was me thinking about, you know, what would happen when he's born? How can we prepare for this eventuality and any challenges we might face?
Now, stepping back from that for a bit, as you were saying earlier, worry can be good. It can serve some practical purposes. How can we tell when worrying is too much? When, whether it's a big problem like that or maybe something small that I've blown out of proportion, when do we see worry become a problem that we want to try to strategize about?
Right. I think that before we figure out whether it's a problem, we have to tune in to what worry is telling us. So like all difficult emotions, worry and anxiety, this is giving us information and preparation. So when I was worried, for example, about my son, his heart condition, of course, the information is that there's this potentially life-threatening situation. But in that information, I'm also projecting myself into a future where I know he can still survive and thrive. I know that it's not a death sentence necessarily, and so there's something I can do about it. And so now that anxiety and that worry is actually focusing me and preparing me to take steps now that I can, of what's in my control, and you know some things are not in my control, but taking those steps to prepare for his birth, to do the research, find the right doctor. So, you know, this is uncomfortable. It's extremely distressing, and we've all experienced this firsthand. But when we can use that worry as information, you know, use it to problem solve and take steps in the future, you know, then it's still in this realm of healthy and normal worrying. And indeed, knowing that it's healthy allows us to really leverage it, you know, to take it as information and preparation. Now, to your question, when do we start to see that it is becoming a problem? One thing that can happen is that when we get so caught up in our worries, we start to worry about our worry. This is actually called meta-worry, where we fear that worry is so out of control, it's so overwhelming and constant that it's damaging to us or dangerous, and we won't be able to let go of it. And unfortunately, that fear of worry can actually spiral anxiety and worry even more out of control. So it becomes a vicious cycle. So if you find yourself having worries that seem to spiral and spiral and you're not sure how to let go of them, that can be a sign that worry is starting to get in your way.
Now, before we get into some worrying strategies, I don't want to leave our listeners worrying here. Your son, things came out pretty good, right?
Yeah, thank you. No, I wanted to make sure to put that in the story. I appreciate that. Yes, my son is now 14 years old. He did have open heart surgery when he was 4 months old, but we were so blessed. We had wonderful surgeons, wonderful healthcare providers, and now he loves doing things like playing the piano, running, wrestling, writing, and our doctors told us, you know, we don't have to worry about his health. We just have to, you know, get his regular checkup. So, you know, I do want to say one thing quickly about that. Sometimes, because worry is sort of this attempt to predict and control the future, you know, we're trying to do anything we can to take care of ourselves and our loved ones. Of course, sometimes it doesn't work out. You know, someone wrote in to me with this article that they had a situation where they had a loved one where the story wasn't as happy as it was for my son. So, you know, I think when we think about whether worry is helpful or when it gets in our way, we do have to acknowledge that it gives us a sense of control, but there are things in life we can't control, and we just have to do our best to leverage worry to take whatever steps we can in this uncertain world we live in.
We're talking about worrying and how to work with our sense of worry with Tracy Dennis-Tawari, an anxiety researcher, author of the book Future Tense, Why Anxiety is Good for You, Even Though It Feels Bad. Well, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had a point in your life where you felt like you worried too much, where it was interfering with your daily life, your sleeping life? Did you find ways around that? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's get into some of the advice you share in that piece. First of all, there are good steps to take. One of the steps, though, not to take, trying to avoid or block or stop worrying. That sounds like a good solution to me. Why is that not helpful, though?
Well, it's definitely what we feel primed to do because worry has to feel unpleasant to do its job. It's painful. It has to grab our attention so that we focus on the future and take whatever preparatory steps we can. I mean, remember, anxiety, worry, these are feelings we evolved to have. And it is a double-edged sword, but like anything we try to suppress, you know, even anything as simple as don't think of a white bear. Of course, the first thing that's going to pop into our mind is a big picture of a white polar bear, probably. So anytime we try to suppress thoughts, especially when we try to suppress emotions, they always come back stronger than before. And there's good research to show this is the case. So if worry isn't going anywhere, if it's the human condition, and that if we can sometimes use it to our advantage, we do have to come up with solutions that aren't suppression and avoidance because they simply don't work. And so the first thing we need to do is to tune into our worries and allow ourselves to experience them so that we can start to see what information they're telling us.
And then that next step you have in your piece is, you know, I think of worrying all in my head. You say we want to locate the worry in our body.
And that's the best way to start tuning into it. So maybe, you know, I don't know if this ever happens to you, Rob, but I wake up sometimes at 4 a.m. with worries going through my head.
Oh, yeah.
And right? And that's of course, what we want to do is make them go away. But here's an opportunity. But before we can really understand what this, maybe it's a swirl, kind of a miasma of thoughts in our head. We're not sure what we're even worrying about. Sometimes worry disconnects us from the feelings in our body because we get stuck in our head. So just taking time to pause. Maybe you are lying in bed worrying. You want to take a breath. You feel your heart beating faster. You start to tune into what are these feelings I'm having? Am I stiff? Am I holding myself tightly? Am I breathing rapidly? As soon as we start tuning in to those feelings, that the tension starts to unwind. We start to maybe realize that, oh, if I sit or I stretch or I just breathe, we practice riding those feelings, they start to dissipate. We also, when we give space to those feelings in our body, we often find that whatever we're worrying about, it kind of rises to the surface. So we start to realize, oh, this is the thought that's in my head. This is what's on my mind as I sort of have this yucky set of feelings that I'm trying to make sense of.
Anxiety researcher Tracy Dennis-Tawari is with us to help us manage our worrying about things big and small. She says we can't necessarily worry less, but we can worry better. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Do you feel like you worry a lot? Does it get in the way of your daily life, keep you awake at night? Have you found some ways to take it head on, do something with it, to get over it after you work with it a little bit? Call it at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234 with your experiences, your questions for our guest. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll take the next steps on managing our worry coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with anxiety researcher Tracy Dennis-Tiwari, author of the book Future Tense, Why Anxiety is Good for You, Even Though It Feels Bad. She's sharing advice to help us manage our worrying. She wrote a piece about this in the Washington Post a few days back. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? If you're willing to share your story dealing with maybe chronic worrying or a point in your life where it was a problem for you, if you found ways to deal with it, if you have a question for our guest, call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's pick up where we left off. Tracy, we've located the worry. We've seen how it's affecting us physically, the heartbeat, and so on. Your next step is to make worry concrete and contained. How do we do that?
Right. This is what some listeners may know of as name it to tame it. This is really about making our worries clear, giving them words. You know, often the worst part of worry is that we just have a jumble of thoughts and we're not sure what we're feeling. So just giving that time to, you know, treat yourself like a friend who needs you to lend them an ear. Really just allow your worries to come and don't judge them and don't push them away. Sometimes it really helps as you're sorting through any worries you might have. Pick a specific period of time to worry, especially if you feel like you're having a lot of worries. Write them all down. Give them words. But limit the time you're allowing yourself to worry. Say 15 minutes. You write down anything that comes into your head. Describe the details of the worry, what you think are the bad things that could happen. Also, what are the good possibilities that you want to make happen? Picture what you're actually worrying about, not just worrying about, oh, I don't want this thing to happen. I don't want to, you know, I have this job interview coming up and I'm just feeling worried about it. No, actually picture, I'm worried that when I go into the job interview, I might not know what to say. Also, you could picture yourself actually solving that problem in the moment. So you just want to get very concrete. When I go to that job interview, I might have a moment when I don't know what to say, but then I'm going to remind myself of those two or three sentences that I memorized to start out the interview with. So here's where you can start to own these worries instead of letting them own you.
Let's bring out a caller now at 800-642-1234. Bevan is with us in Madison. Bevan, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to say that in 30 years of Zen practice, also now today known as mindfulness, worrying is not something to be avoided or something you should feel bad about. It's actually a survival mechanism. And the point is not to avoid worrying, but to learn how to do it right, because parents or anyone who worries properly will be worrying about the right things and how to basically manage that. So if you don't set aside time for worrying every day, and this is what a lot of meditation is spent in worrying, and then you get that done, and it's over with. So that's about it.
Bevan, thanks a lot for that call. And Tracy, that you had mentioned that the idea of scheduling worrying, does that work if it's 5 o'clock and I'm like having that worry and I'm like, no. I've got worry penciled in for 8 o'clock. Does that really help people?
It's amazing what usually happens for people. It does help many, many people. And what starts to happen when you give yourself this 15 minutes is you start to lose steam. You're like, oh, wait a second. you know, this worry that started feeling out of control, all of a sudden when you force yourself to worry for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, it loses its hold on you. And you've made these less frightening, these worries. You've made them concrete, and you've started to prime yourself, prepare yourself to come up with some solutions.
Bevan, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. And then you just mentioned solving the solutions we can come up with. How can we turn that sort of miasma of worrying into a problem-solving exercise?
Right. And really, this is the way we are approaching our worries. This is the way that we would approach any sort of problem solving in our lives. So it's, again, it normalizes. And as Bevan mentioned, you know, worry is a normal part of life. So rather than feeling that we're broken and worry is so damaging and destructive, really we can reframe our mindset to say, well, worry is a part of life. but I can use it to my advantage. I can gain skills in using it to problem solve. And so once you have tuned into your bodily feelings, you've tuned into your thoughts and given them words, you can start to problem solve in steps. So first, you can start by brainstorming solutions. You know, all ideas are good ideas. Remembering that we do have to think about things that are in our control and maybe considering that some things are not in our control. Even in the case of my son, when he was diagnosed with a heart condition, that is out of my control that he was that he had this condition. But what's in my control is that I can learn about the best doctors in my area. I can learn about what to expect and prepare kind of the ground, so to speak, for when he will be born. What do we need in place so that he can have the best you know, outcome possible and the best support and health care? So brainstorm solutions that are in your control. Then, like any sort of brainstorm, evaluate the pros and cons. You can, you know, type this up, take a pad and a sharp pencil, go through these steps with your worries. Take some time, think through the ideas. And then once you've evaluated pros and cons, you know, select one or two solutions that you can pursue. And then, staying concrete, make a solid plan to try out one or more of these solutions. And again, the more detail you write down, the better. With any problem solving, any, you know, habit changes that we might want to make, starting small, starting with doable steps one at a time, break it down into things that you can actually do. When my son was sick, I knew that I wanted to do everything I could to ensure that he was okay. And that's a big goal, so I broke that down into smaller goals. I started by finding the right doctor. I did some research on the condition. I learned, you know, so I broke it down into these bite-sized pieces. I tried out some of these solutions, so that's the next step. Once we identify the plan and have doable steps, try out those solutions and then evaluate how does it work. And then from there, you can consider whether adjustments and additional problem solving is needed. So these worries that can be this miasma, this really unpleasant, overwhelming feeling, we're breaking that down into steps that we can actually take in our life.
We're talking about worrying with Tracy Dennis-Tawari, anxiety researcher, author of the book Future Tense, Why Anxiety is Good for You, Even Though It Feels Bad. Back to your calls now. Randy is with us in Madison. Randy, hello.
Yeah, I wonder, it's a little bit like something my dad said a lot when he was alive, and he was a praying man, and he was not a fundamentalist type, but kind of devout, and he would say, okay, we'll pray now, and sometimes he'd even get on his knees and pray, which used to embarrass me, but it doesn't now. But he would say, okay, we'll lay these prayers out before the Lord, but he said, before we get up, we're going to take them all back.
Lay the fears out before the Lord and then take them back. Randy, thank you for sharing that. Tracy, I mean, whether
that's
we're writing
beautiful
it down on a piece of paper or meditating or praying, the same principle seems to apply.
I love that. And it just goes to show that, you know, we have these tools in our toolkit, whether it's faith, religious faith, whether it's health practice, whether it's journaling, whether it's just being able to find 5 or 10 minutes and sitting quietly. You know, these are things that we can do. And what I love about that suggestion of sort of laying it out is it's also acknowledging that there are some things we can control, there's some things we can't. There also has to be a level of acceptance. And, you know, the more you fight worries, the more they tend to accelerate and sort of feel out of control. And so there is a level here of accepting the messy work of being human. And so that's part of it.
Thanks a lot for that call. Gina is with us in Appleton now. Gina, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to ask about, Gina, or bring up?
So just in listening to it, I just thought this was really interesting. I'm driving home after my day of work, and I've had a lifetime of like different levels of kind of worry that I've sorted through, and wondered, you know, is there a way to even really manage it? So it was really interesting to hear this today, because I might just pick up the book and
just a quick question, Gina. We're just about out of time.
Yeah. So what my question is there advocacy and kind of support for individuals that are like at a younger age, maybe.
Gotcha, Gina. Thanks for the call. Tracy, we just have a minute or so left. Advice for helping young kids deal with worry.
I'd say all of these tools are the same, and kids especially, we can, you know, help them name it to tame it. We can help them give words to their worries, let them know that it's manageable, let them know that we're there to support them, and then help them let go, which is the final step, that once we've visited the future, made some plans, allowed ourselves to worry, we can come back to the present, and we can do that through prayer, through exercise, a journal, talking to a therapist, talking to a friend. We can also let go of these worries once we've used them as information and preparation.
Gina, thanks for the call. And Tracy, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rob. It was great speaking with you and your callers.
That was anxiety researcher Tracy Dennis-Tawari, author of the book Future Tense, Why Anxiety is Good for You Even Though It Feels Bad. She joined us to help manage our worrying. There's still time for you to share your suggestions. Maybe you have advice, maybe a lesson you learned along the way on dealing with your worries and cares throughout your life. Let us know about it. Email ideas at WPR.org or post, share them on the Ideas Network Facebook page. That's the Ideas Network Facebook page.